You're listening to Jennifer Ingall on ABC New England Northwest.
There's been a lot of focus on renewable energy in the last week, with the Australian Wind Alliance visiting the region to promote the value of wind energy. In particular, they were in the Nundle area southwest of Tamworth to meet with locals about a controversial project there. The Australian Wind Commissioner is like an ombudsman for the industry, making sure that proponents get it right and listening to the concerns of people opposed to the projects as well. Australia has more than 80 wind farms, mostly in Victoria, and there's another 65 in development. And there's a difference in how each state deals with these proposals as well. Andrew Dyer is the Wind Commissioner, and I spoke to him earlier and asked him what brought him to the New England Northwest.
We wanted to visit some of the proposed wind and solar farm sites to get a good feel for the projects, meet with the proponents, meet with community members, as well as visit some operating assets, wind farms and solar farms up near Glen Innes.
Did you go to the Yooralla solar farm as well?
The Yooralla solar farm is known as the New England solar farm, and that's just to the east of Yooralla. We did meet with a proponent in Yooralla and then visited the sites for where the solar panels would go, and also met with a group of residents that have some concerns about the project.
Yeah, what have people been telling you?
On the Yooralla New England solar project?
Mm-hmm.
The concerns are mainly in the southern array. There are three arrays with the proposed project, one in the north, one in the centre, and one in the south. These are all east of Yooralla. Around the southern section of the project, there's perhaps more neighbours to the configuration, and they have concerns about visual amenity, the proximity of the solar arrays to residences and roadways, and the potential impact on agricultural land.
You also visited Nundle, where there's a bit of controversy over a wind turbine project there. What were people telling you in Nundle?
There's a group there that has formed to raise concerns and discuss concerns about the proposed project, known as the Hills of Gold Wind Farm. I think their primary concerns, when we work through them, relate to the visual amenity impacts. When you put turbines on top of a ridge, they're highly visible. It's a very good place to put turbines from a wind point of view, but there are visual impacts that need to be considered. There are some concerns about how you actually get up there. It's a very steep ridge, and just transporting modern-day turbines, which have incredibly long blades, and the turbine towers and the trucks and cranes and water and gravel and stuff that's got to go up and down the hill. I think there's some concerns about both the design of the road, and also there are very limited roads up and down that ridge. So what would happen if the roads were blocked due to construction traffic and the like during construction? There are also concerns about the transmission line that would need to be built to connect that wind farm to the grid. It's about a 24 kilometre line running to the west. It would run through some pretty country and run through neighbours' properties to the wind farm. So they're probably some of the key concerns that were raised and discussed with that community group.
Mm. Now, were you able to offer them any advice, or what do you do with that information?
Two things. One, I try and help community groups work through what the priority issue should be. It's easy to fall into the trap of downloading, the 27 reasons why you might object about a wind farm off the website. And some of those may or may not be material. So I think helping community groups get focused and prioritised. And then we've got a platform we can work with the proponent or the state government to work through the issues and see if we can get a proper outcome.
You act sort of almost like an ombudsman, don't you, for the renewable energy industry, initially just with wind, but that's been expanded now to solar. How does New South Wales go or stack up when it comes to, say, compliance?
New South Wales has a very effective compliance regime. In matters of noise, for example, it's governed by the EPA, and if you have a concern about noise compliance of a wind farm, you can contact the EPA. And they can have the powers and can decide to investigate and get to the root cause, and ultimately can refute the license of the wind farms operator if they don't cooperate properly. The state government also has very effective compliance regimes, particularly around the construction. And if community members have concerns about, for example, tree clearing has been a hot topic of late, then the government has a specialised team that acts on that quickly and can enforce both stop orders and penalties to the wind farm proponent.
What are the laws or regulations in New South Wales around the sound? One of the biggest complaints about wind farms, I suppose, is the noise. What are there strict guidelines around that, and how are they monitored?
New South Wales probably has one of the toughest noise regimes in the world. The noise limit is 35 decibels. Or background noise plus 5, whichever is the greater. It's measured outside the residence, so the noise levels inside the residence would be far less than 35 decibels. It's assessed through both a predictive assessment, which is done before the wind farm is built. That's where you model what the noise output would be based on the turbine selection and the turbine locations. And houses have to be outside the 35 decibel contour in that design. It's then tested once the wind farm is built, doing the post-construction noise testing assessment. And again, there are issues identified during that testing. Turbines may have to be curtailed or turned off.
But you got the impression when you were in Nundle that it's more about logistics and amenities rather than that issue of noise?
Yes. If I work through the list of issues I had, it was far more about civil engineering and transmission and visual amenity issues. If you look at our annual report of 2017, you'll notice that the complaints we receive about noise have dropped considerably, and it is more about construction matters and visual amenity that we deal with these days.
Do you expect to hear from the groups that you met with again, or were you able to allay some of their fears, or do you think it's probably going to be an ongoing sort of relationship?
My next step is over the next couple of weeks is to go back to the proponents of those projects and share with them my observations from the discussions with the committee members. And I'll obviously be going back to the community groups with the feedback from those discussions and what might be some practical next steps.
Yeah. Andrew Dyer's with us. He's Australia's Wind Commissioner, and he works like an ombudsman for the industry, making sure that proponents get it right and also listening to the concerns of people opposed to a renewable energy project. How important is your role, do you think, given that we've come a long way, I suppose, since wind farming 10 years ago came to the fore, and so much has changed in that time as well? Is your role more important than ever, do you think?
Oh, yes. I think we identified a number of systemic issues across the various jurisdictions, and I've been very pleased with the way industry and governments have worked with us to adopt a large number of recommendations to make the world a better place for the community.